Please be seated. Let us be thoughtful in conversation this coming Thanksgiving. Let us be mindful of the goodness of God as sung in the psalm this morning. Let us be mindful of the blessings of Almighty God. The goodness of God knows no limit, no single season, no particular admixture of victory and defeat. Our friends, the seasons themselves, and the prayerful practice of remembrance tell us this again. Let us be mindful of friendship. The friendship of Marsh Chapel is offered each Lord's Day and each day in the Lord, first and foremost to those most in need. The physical safety of our students in all times and in all seasons stands as our highest priority in friendship. If you are a sophomore, say, and you sense you are in some need or peril, our hospitality staff welcomes you in friendship. Mr. Bouchard, our chapel director, who will read in a moment a playful poem about friendship, guides a team, including one staff person related to Title IX issues, devoted to your security in use of space, in programmatic support, and in personal protection. Now, in a season when, given the events of this past week and its election, some sense possible peril, we stand with you on a daily basis, on the ground level, in a protective posture. Let us be mindful of friendship, as was our friend of blessed memory, Max Kutz.
Let us give thanks for a bounty of people, for children who are our second planting, and though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. For generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who, like scallions and cucumbers, keep reminding us that we've had them, for crotchety friends as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible, for handsome friends who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn, and the other plain as potatoes and as good for you, for funny friends who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes, and serious friends as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions. For friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends who wind around us like tendrils and hold us despite our blights, wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested and who fed us in their times that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks.
Let us be mindful of friendship, and let us be mindful of the seasons. Next week, most of us will sit before a carved turkey. For many years, Marsh Chapel provided such a meal right here. Now the university itself has taken up that meal and provides it for students who are here over break, along with now open housing. Your ministry, Marsh Chapel, has been such a seed planting incubator ministry over time, for service that then becomes university-wide. A Marsh Chapel Martin Luther King observance becomes a university-wide observance. A Marsh Chapel community service program becomes a university-wide service program. A gospel group becomes a university-wide inner strength gospel choir Marsh Chapel hosted. A Marsh Chapel Howard Thurman room and listening center becomes a university Howard Thurman center. A Marsh Chapel commitment to pastoral care over six decades becomes further embodied in behavioral health at SARP and the Office of the Ombuds and others. Your work in incubation continues. You plant seeds, and then they grow up and on and out, season by season. So next week, you will be at your table somewhere. Given the choices others have made in election and selection, and given the tragic tide of white nationalism, as unchristian as it is un-American, which has surprisingly splashed upon all this week, how shall we engage in conversation with family with whom we disagree come Thanksgiving? Perhaps it will be too much this year, and silence or absence will be required. Yet it may be that the rhythms of nature and harvest will help us. It may be that the season itself, redolent and rich with meaning, may support us. It may be that the hymns of Thanksgiving, hummed or remembered, may help us. You could also sing them, of course, even if you are not Methodists. It may be that prayers, like the three used year by year here at Marsh and used today, may help us. Feel free to borrow. Yes, our lessons from ancient scripture regularly surround us with a Thanksgiving conversation. Isaiah in hope, the psalmist in praise, the epistle in encouragement, and the gospel in patience. Even for those of us dwelling mostly in an urban setting, we can from this season, autumn, warm, mostly dry, mostly pleasant, mostly, receive such a blessing and sow a sense of gratitude that seed time gives way to harvest, as tears give way to shouts and joy. The long months of hidden growth, of change and development under the earth are a firm reminder that the future will look different from the past and from the present. Every autumn, every harvest season, we are offered such a reminder. Let us be mindful of the good earth, of the fruits of harvest, of the fruits of years of labor and love, as one remembered in the figure of her friend. Carol Zahm, now deceased, wrote a poem prayer about a friend some years ago. It is set in Wisconsin on the family farm. Today it will be read by our university chaplain for international students, Ms. Jessica Chica. As Mr. Bouchard cares for space and safety, she cares for our international sisters and brothers. As a junior, say, you might muse, isn't it wonderful that she is here? In a fortnight when the ugliness of American selfishness and a shameful Christian bigotry may frighten our beloved neighbors or worse, she is here to provide pastoral care and programmatic support and administrative help for all, for those from Pakistan or Korea or China, and for those who are Hindu or Muslim or Buddhist or Confucian or no religious tradition at all. In a week when students on campuses now, given the open space set out for this by a particular now victorious party and candidate, who have unashamedly ridden a wave of white nationalism, are accosted for wearing religious garb, or who are fearful for their families, one interviewed by the New York Times standing on the steps not 20 feet from this pulpit. Your ministry with and to those who are strangers in an increasingly strange land has real portent. We need someone, by the way, to endow the deanship of Marsh Chapel, a $4 million gift to make sure this sort of ministry continues in perpetuity. We need others, by the way, to tithe in support of Marsh Chapel for the year to come, to make sure this sort of ministry continues into the future. Where will your tithe go this season? It may be at Thanksgiving that the season, the harvest, nature itself will support us.
Sitting by my window, looking out at the field, this chair has been such a comfort for so many years. Rocking, rocking. All the children were comforted in this chair, all grown and gone now. Babies growing year after year till they could go to the field to help. The fields so green in the spring, then the plow broke it up into beautiful brown earth, worked over and over until the seeds had a wonderful bed in which to grow. Week after week growing, and then the harvest. We all went to the field for the harvest. Sunrise to sunset, day after day, finished at last, ready for winter. Now looking across the field at beautiful virgin snow, like watching a baby sleep. So peaceful, happy for the quiet, anxious for the awakening. Start again, sitting by my window, rocking, rocking.
Her rocking the rhythm of her remembrance along the brown earth seems a world away from our world today, for we have been this past week through a very difficult patch. Nature may aid culture here. We will want to be somber and sober to remember that God gives the human being a rooted daily freedom, but does not then suddenly intervene to erase that freedom, however perversely, violently, or despicably that freedom is used. We will want to stand up, sit up, and take notice that liberty is only of any value within the constraints of security to enjoy it, and that security is only of any value as a basis for the enjoyment of liberty itself. As people of faith, we cannot in sloth afford to be naive, refusing the dominical wisdom of serpents to hide underneath a false innocence of doves when facing hatred, religious terrorism, and nihilistic venom. Protection for the lamb requires resistance to the wolf before either determines to lie down with the other. Any manner of bigotry deserves to be met by condemnation, contempt, and resistance. And we have plenty of work to do, and let us not grow weary in the doing of it. That is, we do not want to pray, preach, sing, or proffer a kind of cheap grace. The utter realism of the Bible on the one hand, and our brutal experience across many centuries on the other hand, and now including this past week, forbid it. Read again Victor Klemperer's two-volume diary, I Will Bear Witness, or the exemplary biography of Bonhoeffer, Strange Glory. In helping one another and in speaking to our children in conversation this Thanksgiving, we can at least remind them, as one said, that they are safe and it is okay to feel sad about what has happened to others. And we can continue to support and protect our neighbors and friends of all manner of different traditions, religious and secular alike. So let us be mindful of the seasons this Thanksgiving, and let us be mindful of remembrance. Howard Thurman, who was 100 years ahead of his time 50 years ago, was so mindful. Our university chaplain, Brother Whitney, will read Thurman's poem in a moment. What Mr. Bouchard brings to physical safety and what Ms. Chica brings to religious safety, Brother Whitney brings in full to psychic safety. With his team and in partnership with others across the campus, he ministers, perhaps with you in your senior year, to anxiety and to depression and to all that unbalances the person. See him, hear him, and know he is here with you and for you. Thurman's poem.
Today I make my sacrament of thanksgiving. I begin with the simple things of my days, fresh air to breathe, cool water to drink, the taste of food, the protection of houses and clothes, the comforts of home. For all these I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I bring to mind all the warmth of humankind that I have known, my mother's arms, the strength of my father, the playmates of my childhood, the wonderful stories brought to me from the lives of many who talked of days gone by when fairies and giants and all kinds of magic held sway. The tears I have shed, the tears I have seen, The excitement of laughter and the twinkle in the eye with its reminder that life is good. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day.
To conclude, a story and an analogy, full well knowing that all analogies stumble. The point of the parable is that there is still a future, remarkable, different, and good. We just do not know what the future holds. In 1978, Jan and I had planned to maybe stay in New York City and there or nearby to study further. In our third year of seminary, though, we became pregnant, and then after Christmas, Jan suffered a severe illness requiring surgery. The doctor said he did not know whether either mother or child would survive the mid-pregnancy operation. By God's grace, they did. But we moved suddenly into a small church in Ithaca, New York, a congregation whose minister had run off with the organist mid-year, hence an opening and a place where mother and coming child could convalesce and ministry could begin, with some commuting for the finishing seminarian back down to New York. Now, my Korean student here in Boston tells me, "Dean Hill, there are three kinds of Korean Christians: conservative, very conservative, and very, very conservative." Well, back then in Ithaca, there were three kinds of people: liberal, very liberal, and very, very liberal. It was 1979, and all weddings were done on horseback, underwater, out in a field, or naked. Well, that is hyperbole, but you get the point. That fall, a modest proposal to improve a road up the far hill to the hospital was met with communal outrage in defense of the squirrel population near Trumansburg. The newspaper reported that three people attended a hearing in squirrel defense dressed as squirrels. That is not hyperbole, but you get the point. The next year, an election was held. Its results produced in that community apocalyptic apoplexy. The president-elect, Ronald Reagan. That winter, in a Cornell graduate student home over dinner, we spoke in fear and trepidation of what would befall the republic. But the host, a veteran Washingtonian back to do a PhD above Cayuga's waters, listened and quietly, presciently replied, "No, he will not trim the bureaucracy, it will expand. No, he will not eliminate the debt, it will grow. No, he will not cut taxes, they will increase, he doesn't have the power. He will shove and push that tree, and maybe one apple will fall. You watch and you wait," he concluded. You would have thought he was quoting today's Lucan little apocalypse. You watch and you wait. We left Ithaca in 1981 for pastoral visits along the St. Lawrence River, in the far north, in the bitter cold, in the barns at milking time, for ministry among farmers and truck drivers in the fire department, for an immersion in non-urban poverty, that is, poverty without electricity and without a subway, along a frozen river, and later for counseling with engineers let go by a failing carrier corporation, prayer with factory workers disemployed by Oneida Silver and Smith Corona, tearful farewells to executives leaving Kodak. In short, ministry amid the disappearance of both farming and manufacturing as the drums of globalization beat along the Mohawk. That is, our real theological education began in earnest going north in 1981, said Martin Luther. One becomes a theologian by living, by dying, and by being damned, not by understanding, reading, and speculation. You watch and you wait. You have faith. You have hope, and you have each other. You have faith, you have hope, and you have each other. And you have plenty of work to do, awaiting the day when the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy hill, saith the Lord.